Julia, would you like to bring us our Bible reading with Eliot?
So we're going to be reading from the dramatised New International Version. Our first reading is taken from Mark chapter 12. As Jesus sat near the temple treasury, he watched the people as they dropped in their money. Many rich men dropped in a lot of money. Then a poor widow came along and dropped in two little copper coins, worth about a penny. He called his disciples together.
I tell you that this poor widow put more in the offering box than all the others, for the others put in what they had to spare of their riches, but she, poor as she is, put in all she had. She gave all she had to live on.
And the second reading is taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians from chapter 9. I'll start. If you are eager to give, God will accept your gift on the basis of what you have to give, not on what you haven't.
I'm not trying to relieve others by putting a burden on you, but since you have plenty at this time, it is only fair that you should help those who are in need. Then, when you are in need and they have plenty, they will help you. In this way, both are treated equally, as the scripture says.
The one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little.
Remember that the person who sows few seeds will have a small crop. The one who sows many seeds will have a large crop.
Each one should give then as he has decided, not with regret or out of a sense of duty, for God loves the one who gives gladly.
And God is able to give you more than you need, so that you will always have all you need for yourselves and more than enough for every good cause, as the scripture said.
He gives generously to the needy. His kindness lasts forever. Let us give thanks to God for his priceless gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much to Eliot and Julia. And really good to hear that news of Sarah. Really good to hear the news of what Eloise has been up to as well on her trip this summer. And so we come together for harvest, and we come together to celebrate. We come together to celebrate God's faithfulness to us, and we come together to give thanks for all that he provides for us. And we think about the way in which we respond to that. And if we look behind us, we have got bags and bags and a couple of wheelbarrows full of gifts, all sorts of produce. I can see orange juice and apple juice, pasta, toilet rolls, always need those, deodorant, fish, biscuits, all sorts of things, and they will go to Resound Food Bank, and they will support all sorts of people in our community. We've also given of our money this morning. Many people have put money in the offering plate, or from their bank accounts, it's gone into the Christchurch account to be used for God's work across the world. So we're pretty good, aren't we, here? Aren't we wonderful? Yes! We've done our bit. Do we feel good about ourselves? Yeah. That's harvest done then. We've done our bit for harvest. Next on the agenda, we've got Christmas. Are you ready for that? So let's talk about Christmas. No, we won't yet. It's a bit too early. God calls us to be generous, not just on a one-off basis, but all of the time. And we can do that in all sorts of different ways. But it's not to make us feel good, is it? It's so that we can respond to all that God has done for us and show his love to others. Two brief readings we've just had. So the first one was from Mark's Gospel. And there's this widow who goes up to the temple treasury. And she's quite poor, got very little money left. But she takes from her pocket a couple of coins, her last two coins, and she places them in the offering as an expression of her love for God. She's prepared to trust God for a way in which he will provide for her. And she's commended for that. The story tells us that other people may have given far greater sums of money, but actually her attitude was probably the most holy and righteous. She was giving of what little she had to please God, whereas others may have given quite a big bit out of a very big bit. And so Jesus commends those who give generously and sacrificially. She wasn't in the top 20 list of givers in the temple that month, but she was commended. And isn't it good news that God doesn't keep a list of givers in heaven? You know, hierarchy. X person gave £400 this month to the work of God. X person only gave 50p. X person didn't give anything this month because they were really struggling. That's not the way God treats us, but God wants us to have an attitude of generosity. He's not so concerned about how much we give of our time, of our energy, of our resources, of our money. He's more concerned about the attitude we give with. We're reminded in the second reading, there's a verse came up on the screen. It was worded slightly differently in the version read, but there's a verse in 2 Corinthians 9 that says, God loves a cheerful giver. Do we give cheerfully? Now, there's a team off to Uganda in a few weeks' time. So Dan's going, Tracy's going, Ali's going, various others are going. And they'll no doubt go to some churches in Uganda. And now they do giving a little bit differently in Uganda, from my experience. So I've noticed two things this morning. First of all, with our offering, we have our offering plate at the back, and we put our money in as we walk past, or we give through our bank accounts, and then we go and sit down, and that's it. And then it's brought the plate's brought up to the front, and it's prayed over, and we offer that to God, and that's great. That's the way we tend to do it here. The other thing I've noticed is that we were singing a song which was called the Harvest Samba. Now, what I noticed, I thought the samba was some sort of dance. Yeah? I've watched Strictly occasionally. I haven't got this series yet. Did anyone watch Strictly last night? A few? Was there a samba on there? There may have been a samba. Was there anything going on as we were singing the Harvest Samba that looked like a samba? No. We were a bit staid and British, weren't we? There were one or two people with their hands in the air, and there was one or two people who were swaying a little bit, but there wasn't much samba going on. Now, if we were at a church in Uganda and we were thinking about giving, when I've been out there to Uganda, been part of services, the way that giving happens is that everyone comes from the back, and there's music playing, and the drums are playing, and everyone is dancing and getting really excited and praising God and worshipping. So we expect to see pictures of Dan and Tracy and Ali and others really worshipping and giving of themselves to God. And that's about giving cheerfully, isn't it? Now, okay, that's an outward expression of being cheerful. We can still give cheerfully without dancing up the aisle. But God wants us to be a generous people. Let's pray that God gives us joyful and generous hearts. There's a prayer on the table. There's several copies on each table for you to take away with you. It's a prayer which is attributed to a guy called Ignatius of Loyola. He lived way back in 1491 to 1556, so over 500 years ago. And he was he grew up in quite a rich family. His family lived in a castle. And he was a bit full of himself. He really enjoyed his childhood, teenage years, bit of a wild lad. And then when he was 18, he went off and he joined the army, effectively. And he was a soldier for the next 12 years, serving in all sorts of different battles. And he was quite successful at that. Until at the age of 30, he was in a battle. And unfortunately, what happened was a cannonball from the enemy came in over a wall. It deflected off a wall and hit his leg. And it caused serious damage to his leg. And as a result of that, he was invalided out of the army. He ended up with one leg shorter than the other, and he had to rethink his whole life and his priorities and what was really important to him. And so he reflected on all that had gone on in his life before that point. And then his sister-in-law bought some books for him to read. And he'd been used to reading sort of novels and stories of sort of romance and great exploits. But he was given some books which told the stories of Jesus. And as he read the stories of Jesus, he was captivated by these stories and all that they said about this man Jesus. And he ended up giving his own life and all that he was to Jesus. And he served the church in amazing ways over quite a long period of time. And one of the things he did, he put together some things which we call spiritual exercises, which are used by many in the church today, different ways of looking at the Bible and engaging with God. And he wrote many prayers as well. Now, we're not 100% sure whether he actually wrote this prayer or whether someone else later, influenced by him, wrote the prayer. But I think it's a really powerful prayer. And I just want to focus this morning around our tables just on the first three lines. Lord, teach me to be generous, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost. Now, most of it, I guess, makes sense. Counting the cost, though, what is that all about? If you wanted a new sofa in your home, how would you go about buying this sofa? You would, if you had lots of money, you might just go out and buy a sofa, because no skin off my back, I'll just buy a sofa. That'll look nice in that room there. But if you were struggling a bit more for money, you're having to make decisions about priorities, you would have to think, can I afford that sofa? When can I afford that sofa? Do I need to save up for it? Might I need to take out a loan for it? Or maybe, although I like that sofa, I can't actually afford it, and so I'll have to stick with a sofa I've got. There's all sorts of consideration. That is about counting the cost, thinking about what something will cost us. When we think about our giving, are we going through a big process and spending lots of time thinking, oh, you know, what can I give? Or will I get something back? If I give, will I get something back in return? Or are we just giving with a generous, outgoing heart that's not counting the cost, but is just seeing a need and responding to it? Out of love for the individual, out of love for God, responding generously to him. So just for a couple of minutes around the table, just want us to think about those first three lines. Lord, teach me to be generous, to serve you as you deserve, and to give and not to count the cost. What does that look like for you, or what might that look like for you? So just talk with one another and bat that around a little bit, and see if you can learn something from one another. So what does it look like to be generous, to serve as God deserves, to give, and not to count the cost? Just 2 minutes. Okay, folks, I'm sure you could take more time to chat together. I'd encourage you after the service just to continue thinking about the lines of that prayer. Take this away with you. Pray it through the week. Think about the implications of each of the different lines. There are so many great prayers of the church through history that we can use today and help us think about what it means to live for God in our daily lives.